Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. In a world where the value system is constantly changing, a system that has fallen, it's flawed, it's tainted, what does it mean to pursue God? When we come to Christ, we go on a journey from darkness to light, from sinfulness to righteousness. So what does that look like? What types of things are involved in that process? Over the next few weeks, I want to talk about pure faith. Say that with me one time. Pure faith. So pursuing God and disconnecting from the values of this world. We're talking about going from the culture of this world that is broken, right? That doesn't function right, that's tainted, to a heavenly culture that's perfect and good. It's the pursuit of pure faith. We live in this world that is deluded. So many beautiful and pure concepts get lost in translation because the original design has been watered down. How important is it for us to get back to the beauty, return to the fundamentals of what God requires of us? It's a funny thought, right? We live in a selfish world, and many times even us, right? We love God and we come into places like this, events like this, Sundays like this, but we're actually looking for something for ourselves, right? We're taking a selfish perspective. We're focused on us and not so focused on what God wants. Sometimes we're not focused enough about what God requires. How many times do we read our Bible or come to church, but it's about us, if we're honest? It's about the experience we get. And that's great and all. I want you to have that experience. I love to have that experience. I don't want to take anything away from that experience that we have with God. But what does He want from us? What does He require? And I think that's an important question for us to ask. And it's a noble thing for us to search out. And that is the pursuit, I believe, of pure faith. So for the next few weeks, I want to really focus on what God wants. And if we can just, for this little season, put aside the things that are our wish list and our want list and say, God, I really want to focus on what You want for me, what You require of me. I want to meditate on that. How do I pursue Your will? And in the way that Jesus prayed that prayer, not my will, but Your will be done. It's the pursuit of pure faith. So I'm pushing the pause on some of the requests that I have in this season to say, God, what is Your will? What should I be pursuing? It's a bold thought, but if we want to be balanced as followers of Christ, sometimes we have to put our wants and our desires to the side and say, God, what is it that is Your will? So that's what we're pursuing, a well-rounded, pure faith. Somebody say that with me one more time. Pure faith. You know, proximity is a thing that is of great interest to me. How close I am to my goals, how close I am to different people in my life that are important, but also how close I am to God. Part of pure faith is proximity to God. In the Old Testament, it was an elusive thing, right? But now under the new covenant, through Jesus Christ, we have access to God like never before. But still, there's a measure of proximity that we decide. Did you know that? There is a part of proximity that we decide. Yes, God desires to be close to us, but there's also responsibility that we have to get closer to Him. Relationships are a two-way street. And so even in the natural relationships that we have, we see a mirror, we see a reflection of what our relationship is supposed to be like with God. James 4:8 says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Two-way street. How many know in relationships, great relationships that you have in your life right now, it's a two-way street if it's going to work well, right? You give, somebody else gives back. You do something, they reciprocate. They do something, you reciprocate. It's a two-way street. And so our relationship with God, as we progress in our faith, right, it is about I draw closer to him, he draws closer to me, right? At the beginning of our faith, yes, a lot of the heavy lifting is God, but as we become and we start to mature, now guess what? If we want to pursue, we want to go to the next level. How many people want to level up? I don't know about you, but I'm always interested. How do I level up in my fitness? How do I level up? How do I level up in my diet? How do I level up in my spiritual walk with God? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. God has a desire to come closer to us, but a lot of this, sometimes it's dependent on our decisions, how much we want it, how much we want to pursue God in our life. Let's read the rest of the passage. James 4:8, it says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. You sinners. Now listen, we're all sinners saved by grace. We all start from the place of sinning, of messed up, of tainted, right? We're all tainted goods before Jesus gets a hold of us, right? He says, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. So this pursuit of God is to not be divided anymore, to become less and less divided between our heart for God and our longing for the things of the world. Longing for the things that satisfy the old man, right? The old desires. So David prayed this prayer. He said, God, give me a what heart? An undivided heart. This right here, James says, your loyalty is divided. You need to pray the prayer of David. God, give me an undivided heart. And so part of us coming closer to God has to do with a process. And there are two distinct images here. Hands and heart. Hands and heart. God is saying, come closer to me, and this is how you do it. Via your hands and your heart. Let's break that down real quick. Hands and heart. Hands represent actions. Heart represent thoughts and intentions. How do we come closer to God in our walk with God? How many people love God in here? How many people want to get closer to God? Please write this down. Screenshot this. Hands and heart. This comes from James 4:8. Hands represent our actions. Hearts represent our thoughts and intentions. Right? So we want to get closer. So we're going to adjust the actions that we're taking in our life, and we're going to adjust the posture of our hearts so we can increase the closeness and the relationship with God in our lives. How many of that sounds interesting to you? Psalm 24:3, David said it this way. He said, who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Same concept. He who has what? Clean hands, pure heart. This is how we get proximity, closer proximity to God. Hands, heart. Actions, thought life. Actions, thought life. So I love the analogy of climbing because there's really this great visual here, right? You should probably put up on a screen like a big mountain range or something. We're on this journey that we are hopefully getting closer and closer to God throughout our lives as we climb or go on this journey of purification. What are we purifying? Our hands and our heart. And so we have to climb. We have to increase. We want to increase our proximity to God. So as we approach this climb, we approach in two different dimensions. We're climbing personally and we're climbing corporately. There's a part of this component of I'm cleansing my hands and my heart. I'm doing that personally, but we're also doing it as a group, right? Corporately, as a church, right? And as the church, right? So individually and corporately, it's very important to understand this dynamic so that it's not just enough to fix you. At some point of maturity, you have to look around and say, I want to give other people a hand up. I want to help other people in their faith. Because it's not just about us being pure of hands, pure of heart, but that those that are in our life, that God has placed in our life, that we're holding each other accountable, that we're having honest conversations with each other so that we can continue to climb the mountain, right? So we climb in two ways, personally and corporately. Go back to it, Psalm 24, 3 through 6. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? And I think there's some duality here, right? We're talking about in this dimension and when we go to heaven, right? Or if we go to heaven, right? So it's this duality, right? Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure. And do not worship idols, and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. Such people may seek you and worship in your presence, O God of Jacob. So there are some things in this passage that are concerning, right? Clean hands, that's okay. We talked about that already. Pure heart, okay. We talked about that. Also, doesn't tell lies, okay? For some people, we got some work to do, right? And maybe it's not big ones, but it's small ones. But this is something, if we want to get closer to God, we have to clean up our act. Look at somebody say, you got to clean up your act. And it's not a place of judgmentalism, it's a place of pursuit of God. Don't think of it as a place of, these are all these rules. Oh my gosh, it's not about rules, it's about relationship. It's about, I do what I do, not because of a rule book. I do what I do because I want to have greater relationship with God. Why do I not tell lies? I don't tell lies because I want to be closer to God. Why do I seek to have a better, more pure thought life? Why? Because I want to be closer to God. I want to enjoy a closer walk with God. Why do I pray, God, help me change my actions. Help me conform my actions to be more like Christ. Why? Because I want to increase my proximity to God. He says, doesn't tell lies, doesn't worship idols. How many know things can be idols in your life? They don't have to just be we walked by a house last night. Pastor Corinne, we were going on a walk and just talking. And she was like, look over at that house. It looks like they literally have a shrine in the open area in front of their house. I was like, yeah, that looks like a shrine. But I hope that you know that there's more than one ways to have idols in your life. It doesn't have to be a little statue. Money can be an idol, right? Certain relationships can be an idol if you put them before God, right? I was saying, look, if you want to increase your proximity to God, he has to be number one. This is not a new concept. The Ten Commandments said, I'm the Lord your God. There's none beside me, you know? Worship the Lord your God only, right? That's like the first two, three commandments are all about just having a focus on God first. So having a pure faith is a process of lining up with God's commands. It's more than just an experience that we feel. It's more than a one-time decision when we give our life to Jesus. It's a pursuit for the rest of our lives that we're climbing this mountain that David defines, to be refined over and over again, to be purified, to have a pure faith. Pure faith causes closer proximity to God. The more we pursue a pure faith, the more our relationship with God will grow. The more I pursue pure faith, the closer I get, and I know him more, and I understand more of his nature. This is important. Guys, this is so important. When you begin to understand his nature, things in life get easier. You say, God is in that. God is not in that. You can clearly delineate the difference. Why? Because you have grown in your proximity to God and you know his nature. Somebody cannot come up to me and tell me something that I don't know about Pastor Corinne. Why? Because I am so close to her, I know her nature. I know, they say, she did this. No, she didn't do that. She said this. Nah, she didn't say that. Why? Because I know her nature. One of the benefits of walking closer in proximity with God is you know his nature. Somebody says, hey, you want to do this? Nah, I don't feel, I'm going to pass on that deal. It doesn't feel like God is in that. Why? Because I know his nature. Do you want to do this? Do you want to go over here? Yeah, I feel like I really should be there. Why? Because I sense his nature in that. I sense like as I'm drawing close to God, he's drawing close to me. He's drawing me into this. He's drawing me into this path. So the person that has pure hands, that has actions, and the pure heart, and that's your thought life, this increases our proximity to God. Something that really intrigues me is water, right? Specifically how water can be so simple but also so complex. We all drink water, but there's many distinctions when it comes to water. Some water's for drinking, some water's for washing, some water's for watering, some water's for flushing. We won't go too far there. Some water's for carrying waste out of your home to the treatment plant, and yet another water cleanses the earth when it rains. So there's all these different distinctions, different types of water. They're not all the same. You wouldn't drink water that's in the gutter. You wouldn't drink water in the ocean. Different types of water. You wouldn't drink mud water. So the water, what type of water would you drink? What caused you to want to drink a certain type of water? Purity. I want to drink, when I'm drinking water, I think everybody in the room agrees, you want to drink pure water. A water that has a high degree of purity. You wouldn't want to drink something that's crazy. You want to drink something that's flown down from some pure springs and or it's gone through some multiple processes to be cleaned and refined and enriched. Many water treatment facilities, it's really interesting, will take water through 5 to 7 different steps to present a finished product. Process can include things like coagulation, flocculation, sedimentation, filtration, ultrafiltration, disinfection, and reverse osmosis. So purification adds great value. I'm trying to point a parallel here to you to see that purification in your own life creates great value. Some people run away from purification because they don't want to go through the process because it's not easy and it's difficult. And sometimes we have to be stripped of certain things and then built back up just like in a treatment plant. But purification adds great value. Great value. It adds great value to water. It adds great value to many products that we enjoy. Imagine how God's process of purification adds immense value to you and me. How God's process of purification adds immense value to his church. Just as great value is added to water through purification, so great value is added to us as we're purified, as we go through God's process of purification. Some water has little to no value. Why? Because it's not pure. At the same time, people will pay a premium for pure and refined water. I want you to think about that for a second. Think about what type of person that you want to be in this life. Do you want to be the person that commits to a process of purification that you come out as something so quality, something of such immense value? That's what purity does. If you want a pure faith, we must be willing to go through the process. You don't get a pure faith without walking through a process. There's a process that the Holy Spirit will take you on. And he'll refine you. He'll challenge you. He'll change you. And just like the water treatment, you'll be water in the end. You'll still be some of what you were, the best parts, but you'll also be something completely new. You'll be something that has grown in value. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. I want you to think about this water treatment when they bring and all that stuff that comes through and the filtration system is happening and it does not allow the old stuff, the hang-ups, the nasty sludge to go through to the next phase. It's held back and then it goes through another filtration, right? And it's blocking stuff out. It's blocking minerals that don't need to be in there. And it's debris and whatever. It's being filtered out. When we allow ourselves to submit to the process of being purified, this new life begins. The more we surrender and allow God to purify our faith, the more value is added. Every time we surrender. Listen, every time we surrender, it's like we go through another filter. God, I'm surrendering more. God is able to filter more. God is able to bring greater value. The more we surrender, the more pure the faith becomes. Theologically, we can call this purification or sanctification, but another way of saying it is just surrender. I'm going through different levels of surrender. Where I'm at in my life, I'm able to surrender this much. And God is able to make me this much more pure. But then I say, man, I like what I see. I'm ready to surrender a little more. And then I'm able to become even more purified. And my value increases in the kingdom. The way God can use me in the kingdom, it increases as my value increases. As my purity increases. The only way to become more like Christ is the process of purification. Guys, just saying yes to Jesus isn't going to magically make you pure. Now, when God sees you, he sees the righteousness of Christ, but that doesn't mean that you still don't have some things to work on. The Bible says, work out your salvation with what? Prayer and supplication. It is a process of praying, saying, God, what do I need to change today? God, what do I need to change in this season? God, I want to be more like you. And if I want to be more like him, I'm going to have to get purified. The old, the bad parts pass away. They have to be removed, filtered out. Behold, all things are new. So you can be the best of what you were before. The divine design elements stay. But all the hang-ups, all the toxic emotions, all the stuff that you picked up along the way that wasn't stuff that God put on you, stripped away in the purification process. This is the power of purity. It enables us to grow closer to God. Purity makes us like God. But please, before you walk out of this place and say, oh my gosh, he's talking about some crazy heresy. Purity makes us like God. And it's not an overstatement. Why? Because the process of purification is the process of becoming more like God. Leviticus 19:1-2 says, the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the entire community. Not one person, not just a leader, not just Moses, not just Moses and Aaron, not just Moses and Aaron and Miriam. He said, the entire community. He said, you must be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And by the way, holy is another way of saying be purified. All the way back in the beginning when God was designing his people and his nation, he said, tell the entire community, this is my plan. This is my game plan. I want everybody to be holy like I am holy. Then, man, we're going to be walking in the blessings, giving you the finest life, right? We were created in the likeness and image of God to be like God. Isn't that what he said in Genesis? So the process of purification is to get us back to the Garden of Eden mentality and the Garden of Eden product, right? Pre-sin, purified, holy. It's a process, guys. You're not going to be perfect overnight. You're not just going to be walking on air and walking on the water, right? It's a process of saying, God, change me. I surrender to you. God, I want you to change me so that I can be more like Christ. Let's be honest. To be like Christ, it takes a process of what? Purification. If Jesus was pure and holy and sinless and perfect, and we want to get there, guess what? It's a process. It's not just a statement that we make on a Sunday in an altar call. It's a process. A process of purification. He wants us to be holy so we can be like Him, so that we can be close to Him, so that we can live eternally with Him. And that is God's design. Here's the really cool part. Romans 8:28. Check this out. And we know that God causes everything, somebody say everything, everything to work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purposes for them. I'm going to show you something beautiful about the process of purification. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Listen, if you submit to God's process, He will work everything for your good. He will work everything in your life as a filtration process so that you come out more refined and of higher value. God is saying, I'm going to use your life, the difficult seasons, the seasons that you feel like you're being squeezed, like you're being crushed, I'm going to use it as a filter to bring out a more refined, more pure version of who you are and who I've called you to be. So, look, here's the prerequisite. You have to be moving according to His purpose and plan. If you want God to use life, the hard stuff of life, as your filter, then you have to be pursuing His purpose and plan. This doesn't apply to everybody, right? Just Joe Blow off the street has not committed his life to Christ. God is not making everything in his life work for His good. How many have seen some people in this world? You know, there's some crazy stuff happening in their life, and it was not God working it for their good, right? But this is a promise. Watch this. Those that love God, Romans 8:28, those that love God and are called according to His purpose for them, He causes everything, even the stuff that people do to you, even the stuff the enemy does to you, He causes it to be a filtration process to bring out a more refined and pure and higher value version of yourself. A new creation in Christ Jesus. And that is exciting. To know no matter what the devil throws at you, God whips out His power and He takes whatever the devil throws at you and makes it a filter. Makes it a filter. And causes us to come out more refined. If you love Him and you walk according to His purposes, God will use everything in your life. And you'll come out on the other side with untold value. He will cause your life, good, bad, everything in the middle, to be used as a filtration system that purifies and brings out great value. I don't know if you want to hear this today. Maybe you're going through stuff today. Maybe you're like, man, I wanted to hear a different sermon today. But maybe this is just the sermon you needed to hear, that the crazy stuff going on in your life right now, the really, really difficult stuff, if you will love God and pursue His purposes for you, He will use every difficulty as a filtration process to bring you through, to make you more purified and refined. There is nothing the devil can throw at you that God can't use for you. There is nothing the devil can't throw at you that God can't use for you. And He will use everything. Romans 8:28. God causes everything to work. I love it. God has the ability to change the intention. There's some stuff in your life, as I'm telling you, God is going to change the intention. God is going to change the meaning of it. That hurt, that pain, that scar, that broken heart, God is going to not just heal it, He's going to change the meaning of it. And when you look back at it, you're not going to still have a broken heart. You're not going to still be wounded by the past. You're going to say, wow, God used that as an education. God used that as filtration. God used that as a platform. God used that in my life to make me the person I am today. I stand here today not because bad stuff has never happened to me. I stand here today as a more refined person because I allowed God to use it to filter out all the junk in my life so I could stand before you a better leader. What is it that God wants to use you to do that you need to be more refined to do? Maybe there's dreams in your heart, dreams in your spirit that God has given you, but you have to be refined a little more. You need to stop looking at your difficulty the way that you do. You need to stop looking at your hardships the way that you do. You need to start thanking God. Because what we enter His gates with thanksgiving. I get closer to God when I thank Him, even for my difficulties, because I know He's turning it for my good. And God is going to promote some people directly out of the prison like Joseph. He's going to promote people directly out of slavery like Joseph into their calling. But it's a process of refinement. Do you think Joseph was ready as a teenage person that did not know how to hold back the secret dreams that God had given him? He wasn't ready to rule. He wasn't ready for the high calling that God was trying to put on his life. He had to be refined. God didn't throw him into prison, and God didn't throw him into slavery. But He used slavery, and He used prison as a filtration and a PhD. That when he came out on the other side, he was a ruler. I hope that you can see God is not trying to give you 1,000 rules. He's trying to bring you back to Him. He's trying to bring us all back to Him. It is the process of purification that enables us to be holy as He is holy. It's the process of purification that enables us to be like Christ. We all like to run around and say Christians. But embedded within the process of being a Christian, we are silently agreeing, knowingly or unknowingly, to a purification process. We say, I want to be like Christ. God says, okay. That's awesome. I'm so excited. Let me tell you what the test looks like. Let me tell you what the quizzes look like. It's a process. But it's worth it. If you submit to God's process, He will work everything for your good. James 1, 2 through 4 says, brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. And I tell you, whenever we come in here on Sunday and sound equipment doesn't work right, I say, man, God's about to do something. When stuff starts getting a little difficult in my life or in the ministry, I say, woo, look out, God's about to do something. Because God will never be outdone in your life. If you've only just seen what the devil is doing, just wait for what God is about to do. Because He will take everything that the devil has done and that people have done to you, and He will flip it around for your good And in that perspective, I consider it pure joy when I fall into various trials. For I know that when my faith is tested, when my endurance then begins to grow, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be, back to the same concept, perfect, complete, needing nothing. So I take joy when I'm in the midst of trials because I realize what the trials produce in me, a process of purity so that I can be holy as He is holy. I can have proximity here and I can have ultimate proximity there. I want to tell you guys, this is a season of pure faith. And what does our world need? It needs the children of God to know who they are. We're supposed to be a bride without spot and blemish, not just personally, together as a group. That's the witness that can testify against some of this crazy stuff that you see at the Olympics. God wants to raise up a standard of righteousness, of pure faith. Not people that say you're Christian and then you go and you do something different. But pure faith. It says, who will ascend to the hill of the Lord? Those that have clean hands and a pure heart. I want to draw close to Him so He can draw close to me. I want to commit to a process of purification. Will you bow your heads with me today? God, I thank You for each and every person that's here today. God, touch our hearts. God, let us long for the process, to go through the process, to submit to the process, to surrender to the process that you want us to go through. Why do You want us to go through that? Because You want to be closer to us. You want to bless us more. You want to line us up with Your blessings. Let us understand the beauty of purity. The more pure, the closer the proximity. The more pure, the more we line up with the blessings and the promises of God. God, let us see it in our lives. Let us hunger for it. Let us have a desire for it. Let us get excited for it. And even let us take joy when we go through trials that lead us to more purification. Thank You, God. And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I've kind of drifted and I need to reconnect with Him. Or maybe you say, Pastor, I don't know if I've ever really connected with Him, but I want to. If either of those are you, I want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right now. Amen. 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 One of the greatest decisions that we make is the decision to say yes to Jesus, whether it's for the first time or whether it's, Jesus, I'm coming back. Coming back to You, straightening some stuff out in my life. I want to fix my hands, fix my heart, fix my thought life, fix my actions. I need You to do that. If you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me, and everybody in the room, you can pray this prayer that agrees with this prayer. Jesus, thank You for Your love. Jesus, I want more of You in my life. I surrender my way of doing things. I want to do things Your way. And I'm sorry for the mistakes that I've made in my past. I'm sorry for my sins. Jesus, forgive me. Apply Your perfect work that You did on the cross to my life. I receive Your free gift of forgiveness, of salvation, and of connection with the Father. Jesus, give me guidance, give me strength to live like You. I want to be like you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, come on, let's give God the praise today. Wow. I'm excited. I don't know if you're excited, but I'm excited for the process that God has us on. And in every season, God has something new. And I want to tell you, I want to encourage you with this. God is for you. He's not against you. He's not sitting up in heaven with a big rule book. He's sitting up in heaven with a big heart, bigger than you can imagine. And he wants to draw us at any and all cost to him. The Bible says he's not slow to judge, but he's patient because he doesn't want people to perish. He doesn't want people to miss it. He doesn't want people to miss heaven. He doesn't want people to miss the mark. He doesn't want people to miss their blessing. God is in heaven with such a great love for you. The process of purification is not about religion. It's about relationship. I want more of God, so I'm willing to go through the process to experience that closer walk with him. Amen? Look at somebody and say, I'm a winner. I just felt like on the way here, I turned to Pastor Corinne and I said, we're going to win today. We're going to win today. God has designed us to win. So I want to encourage you with this scripture. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is with you, you will be undefeated. Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.